Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The noise around J.J. McCarthy to me is getting crazy. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I mean, what are we doing here? J.J. McCarthy was a winner in college. I get that. There were a lot of reasons why Michigan won a national title last year. McCarthy was one of them. He wasn't in my top three, though, of why Michigan did finally break through and win that title. And now, Perloff, what's getting nuts here as the draft is set to kick off tomorrow is some of the speculation around teams who will just be falling over each other to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy. Future first-round picks, multiple first-round picks. That's madness to me.
Yeah, but it's the cost of doing business for a quarterback. So Minnesota has 11 and 23.
Yeah.
Here's my argument why, and I don't, and maybe they don't want to do this report. They don't want to give up 23. Next year's first round pick for a team like Minnesota should be second half of the first round. I feel like what you don't want to do is trade a pick and have it end up being the number one overall pick, like the Bears and the Panthers traded last year. But I feel like Minnesota, if you trade up and you give up next year's first round pick, you better hope that's not a top five pick. So you have to be a decent team where you think J.J. McCarthy is plug and play, bring him in, and you're going to be like the number 20 pick next year. So if you think that, then you can do that deal.
Well, I think you might be deluding yourself, and that's a good way to get fired, or that's a good way to really disappoint the fan base because, again, I understand the market for quarterbacks is much different than every other position, but you can still make a huge mistake. And I know Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Vikings, is a quarterback guru guy. He's been very picky, according to him, about who he wants to have as the signal caller in Minnesota. But, again, future assets? Like, we're really doing that. We're doing the future assets for McCarthy, who has all this game film,
right,
yet the evaluation is incomplete. You know, that to me doesn't compute. I know a lot of times you're picking guys on the potential, but when you are mortgaging the future assets,
yeah,
you really have to be a lot more than, oh, I think he's going to be good. You got to really have a lot stronger conviction than that.
Well, let me ask you this. Drake May sitting at number three, possibly. I think many teams would do that. They would trade three first rounds to get into number three for Drake May. Is J.J. McCarthy that much worse than Drake May? Because I think if Minnesota said, hey, we'll give you 11-23 in a first rounder to move up to number three, nobody would blink an eye about that. We've seen that exact deal many times. That would be fine, right? Or
I don't know. See, I don't. I'm not really as sold on this draft class as everyone is. I don't know if you have six future Pro Bowlers in this draft class like it's being touted. So
you wouldn't do that deal?
You know, I like Drake May. I think that the skill set that he has shown, the reason why North Carolina was losing games is not because of Drake May. So I think the skill set that he's shown is something that I'm a lot more excited about, quite frankly, than J.J. McCarthy. So I guess, like, do we trust our eyes? We all watched this guy, and he is a highly touted recruit, and I know he's got good footwork and all of that. But we all watch for 2 years as Michigan is playing in one high-profile game after another, and he was asked to do not very much.
Yeah,
and with a coach who is a former NFL quarterback and is a quarterback guy, I find it, I can't get past that.
Yeah, but it's a potential. Same with Drake May. Like, you know, the NFL is looking at potential. I think we understand that this is a particular situation. Jim Harbaugh never wants to pass the ball. Everyone knows that. I mean, there's
how about never?
Literally never. I mean, he had like maybe 1 year. What? Show me
Kaepernick to Crabtree. That was not nothing.
It was nothing. I mean, they were, I just looked up the year they were the Super Bowl, they were 31st in pass attempts.
Okay, but did Michael Crabtree was a 1,000-yard receiver, wasn't he, or close?
I'm just saying, like, he just is not, you know that J.J. McCarthy, if he had gone to Oregon where Bo Nix was, would have thrown 40 touchdowns.
Okay, but I didn't see it,
But I think we can make that leap. We know it was Harbaugh, right? It was you who did it to me. So I think that's why Harbaugh is working so hard to say he's so good, because I think he limited them. Honestly, if J.J. McCarthy, I think if he had thrown as much as, say, Michael Penix, you don't think he would have 35 touchdowns? Of course he would.
Okay, and if you're a GM and you want to give first-round picks, see, nobody's tripping over themselves for first-round picks for Penix, though. Like, you're talking, not yet.
Well, he could go high, though.
Okay, but not what we're talking about with McCarthy,
which
is like four or five.
Yeah,
like,
I see what you're saying.
I got to be honest. Like, this doesn't even help. It helps McCarthy because it will help his bank account. But the expectations when you are thought to be again, this is the scouts talking, borderline first round pick, borderline first round grade is on McCarthy. And instead, a team trades multiple first round picks or at least one future first round pick to go up and get you at four, you all of a sudden have expectations that you're going to be the rising tide of the franchise.
No, you're totally right. I mean, realistically, J.J. McCarthy should be 11, 12, or 13. Like, kind of, that makes sense. But
I think it's more like 20 to 35.
Okay, but if you're Minnesota, Denver, or Vegas, the teams that need a quarterback, and you want J.J. McCarthy, it makes sense to take him there, right? And say 11 for Minnesota. But you know as a fact that the 12 and 13 team might jump you. At a certain point, it's just the market. Like, what if you're all set? If, say, we do want J.J. McCarthy at 11, that's not that big a stretch.
But you don't have to trade assets for that.
But if you really want him, you have no idea if you're going to get him there. You can't just sit there and tell your owner, hey, I'm going to look at we want this quarterback. And then, say, you stick at 11 and he goes number 10, then you're just out of luck. And then you're starting Sam Darnold. So I think it's just a matter of the actual situation is you might have to trade up even if the value is not there, because otherwise you don't get a quarterback.
Yeah, I just think for as many stories you have of, oh, they traded up and they got Mahomes and it worked out so well. They traded up, they got Josh Allen, it worked out so well. You have traded up for Trey Lance. Now, I know he's got a lot more game tape than Trey Lance. I get that. But you get, oh, well, we felt like we really had to take our guys, so we took Daniel Jones at 6. Ah, you know? But for every
pick that is not a quarterback, we don't talk. Washington passed on Justin Herbert to take Chase Young. Like, there's disasters all over the place. There's no one way it goes where passing. Yeah. Each situation is totally different. I mean, for every trade up that did work, I'll give you one that did work. For every time you pass on it. So Minnesota sits at 11, all the quarterbacks are gone, and they get, I don't know, another right tackle. Like, what's that doing for the team? If Sam Darnold's your quarterback, yeah, the owners could be like, why are we 4-13 next year? So I do think, like, it just the market dictates this. It's not the quality of player. It's where you have to go.
Well, it's the desperation is what dictates it. And I hate making moves out of desperation. We also asked you on social media, Maggie Pearl on Twitter, is J.J. McCarthy going to be a star? This is where Perloff and I disagree. I think you see him as somebody, if he goes to the right place, that he's going to be a really big deal. He's going to be successful, especially if he goes to Minnesota.
Yeah, I see him like a Kirk Cousins type.
Yeah, no, and he would be somebody who, you know, we all know what a star is, right? And so I don't see it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not going to be Patrick Mahomes, but yeah, he's going to be good if he goes to Minnesota. If he goes to Denver, I'm a little less convinced. If he goes to the Raiders, I'm non-convinced. But the Raiders don't seem to want him. But regardless, yeah, I think if he goes to the right spot, yeah, he could be good.
The poll question, is J.J. McCarthy going to be a star in the NFL? The early results are not good for the Michigan QB. About 80% of our audience, 79% of the audience says no, he's not going to be a star. And I'm with them. I don't see how this feels like a really big, you know, leap. And what I would say also about McCarthy, it might be better for him. I know not in the immediate because it might be embarrassing. And again, the money that's guaranteed for high picks is nothing to like sneeze at. But going later and potentially going to a better team, if he actually was a late round pick or whatever, could actually help. Like, he is the kind of guy who has to go to a team that has a lot around him. You just said it. If he goes to Minnesota, you like him. If he goes someone else, you don't like it as much. So, you know, It's not like if I'm trading up to get somebody and I'm doing a lot of future first, I'm thinking He can be good almost anywhere. Mm-hmm. He can overcome deficiencies on the roster. He's the focal point of everything we want to build around because that's how you're treating him with your draft assets.
Yeah, I'm not sure the league looks at quarterbacks in the first round like that anymore. I think you would take sort of a game manager higher up. Like you'd take Kirk Cousins at 10. I will tell you one thing, star or no star, if he goes 11 to the Vikings, I would definitely put a rookie of the year bet on him because he is in a position where he could easily get 30 touchdowns and 4,000 yards with Kevin O'Connell as his coach. And that's going to be, that's the best spot. I mean, the worst spot is if he goes 2 to the Commanders, which is not out of play either. Like he can't go to a team where he has to do everything. He's got to be in the right spot. So I will definitely, I mean, if he falls to 11, 12, I'm definitely in on this J.J. McCarthy thing. You're out. You think he's going to be a bust?
I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing the come in, the immediate impact. I'm not seeing the guy who we saw in Michigan and all of a sudden is going to come here and be Brett Favre. Like, I don't, it's too much of a leap for me. So, and I know Favre would start off that way.
Spectacular. I mean,
no, but not his rookie year, obviously. Yeah. But I'm not seeing this, like, man, and look at the gunslinger. Like, he was hiding all along just in plain sight. Never knew it.
Could you see playoffs with that team?
You know, I think that the Packers are really good. I think that the Lions are really good. So, and I think the Bears are probably going to be a lot better than maybe some people think. So,
yeah, it's a tough division.
I don't know if that's going to be very easy for them.
Yeah, it's set up though. They have a really good left tackle and that receiving core. If you could go Addison and Jefferson and TJ Hockenson, oh man, this is going to be good. Actually, I want my guy Michael Penix to go there. And yeah. He would light up the league there.
Well, and also they kept Brian Flores as their defensive coordinator. Oh, he's
dude,
awesome. So.
He's, yeah, no, that's a really interesting team. Sam Darnold starts, not so much.
I'm telling you, I've watched a lot of Sam Darnold tape.
Live. I know you guys are into the Jets. Like, I honestly think Sam Darnold was not as bad because it was like playing with ankle weights. Being in the Jets, you can't judge anything.
I've done this debate every day of my life for 4 years. I can't do it again.
I think the NFL views Sam Darnold way differently than Jets Nation. I think, and by the way, it's funny.
Well, like, what about Panthers Nation? Because they also would have a say in it.
I mean, yeah, that's even worse. That's like full body weights. That's like playing in a Knight of Armor suit.
Okay, well, it was like touted as, wow, thank God he got it out of New York so he could finally go to someplace who's going to appreciate him like Carolina. And then it totally imploded there. Okay, if you are tuning into our show, Wednesdays, at this time, every week, we do something called The Great Debate.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay, in honor of the first round of the NFL draft being tomorrow, Perloff, we're thinking about rookies. We've got rookies on the brain. We've got football rookies on the brain. So our question and our great debate today: who had the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL? I cede the floor to you, sir.
Okay. I don't know if it's the greatest, but it's my favorite for sure. Eric Dickerson came in the NFL as sort of a highly thought of running back out of SMU. But what he did his rookie year is insane. 1,808 yards rushing, 18 touchdowns, caught 51 passes, turned around a Rams team that was really not, you know, not much to think about before then. My favorite part about this, he had 13 fumbles his rookie year. That's amazing that he was still number wow. 3 in MVP voting with 13 fumbles. Every time he touched the ball, you didn't know what was going to happen, Maggie. It was incredible. I saw the highlights the other day. He had that upright running style. It was like he was gliding through the line. It's the greatest rookie running back season of all time. And I would argue the greatest season of all time because that's a position that you really dominate immediately. Quarterbacks are a bit limited in their rookie year. Running back, you could just go for it. And I think his was the greatest running back season and therefore the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL.
Ran to the left side, wide of Brian Barber, pitch back to Dickerson, turns left, cuts inside, out to the 30, 35 to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, down to the 35, down to the 25, down to the 10, 5, touchdown, Eric Dickerson. 85 yards.
All right, we're doing our great debate this week, the greatest rookie seasons in NFL history, and I will present to you Cam Newton.
Here the Cardinals all standing in a two-point stance on the third down. Here comes the blitz. Newton puts it up. He's got a man, and he completes it. Steve Smith is going all the way. Touchdown, Carolina. 77 yards. Cam Newton's first touchdown pass of the NFL.
That was his first touchdown pass, the first game over 400 yards. Week two, also over 400 yards passing. And the reason why I'm picking Cam Newton is because of the impact that not only he had that rookie year where he won rookie of the year, but also the impact it's had on the league since. I mean, Cam Newton wasn't the first dual threat quarterback, and he wasn't the first option dual threat quarterback, but man, did he feels like he sort of revolutionized that, where teams said, what did he do well in college? Let's take some of those concepts and let's put them here in the pros. Let's build our whole offense around this. And the other part about Cam, the 4,051 passing yards, the 21 touchdowns passing to go with 14 rushing touchdowns for a total of 35 touchdowns in his rookie year and 700 rushing yards. Cam was really questioned coming into that draft. Mel Kiper was comparing him to Achilles Smith. It was not like, oh, he's coming off of the Heisman. We think Cam is going to in a national championship. And we think Cam's going to be the surefire thing. His work ethic was questioned. All these things about Cam totally dogged him. And the fact that he started off that his career in such a huge way, Panthers had won two games the year before. They end up winning six games. They didn't go to the playoffs. He broke Peyton Manning's rookie passing yards record. And Cam ushered in, like, you know, Josh Allen can't be if Cam Newton doesn't exist. I think it's harder. I think it's harder for people to look at quarterbacks who were that big, who were that good of runners. So for me, it's Cam Newton.
Gotcha.
Let's go to EJ.
All right. So my pick still holds the record for most receiving touchdowns. It was because of games like this.
Throwing it back to Cunningham, the old flea picker, and open is Randy Moss, and in the end zone is a Minnesota touchdown.
Yep, you know they were going to do it. The fans knew they were going to do it. The Dallas Cowboys knew they were going to do it.
Here's Cunningham back to throw it and going deep, and he's got Moss, and there's a flag on the play, and Moss has caught the pass and is in the end zone anyway. Touchdown, just throw it as far as you can.
This guy is amazing.
And I don't know how you stop him.
I don't either.
The Cowboys showing blitz. Minnesota picks. Randy Moss breaks a tackle, and Randy Moss races down the sideline, and Randy Moss just outruns everybody into the end zone. He is incredible.
Three touchdowns on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, an iconic performance from the great Randy Moss, who had 17 receiving touchdowns in his rookie season. Thinking about all of the touchdowns, all of the passing yards, all the receiving yards that we have in today, and still that record holds because Randy Moss was completely unstoppable. We had never seen an athlete like him before at the receiver position. I don't know if we've really seen anybody like him since. Randy Moss, by far, to me, greatest NFL rookie of all time.
All right, that's the great debate today. The greatest NFL rookie years of all time, or greatest NFL rookies of all time. This is in honor of the draft tomorrow. Pete Bilotti?
Well, how about Odell Beckham Jr., his rookie season? He was injured.
Yep.
A lot of his rookie season. He missed four games. Had hamstring injuries throughout the entire season. But won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Had 12 touchdowns in 12 games. If you want to do a comparison, look at Tariq Hill this year. He had 13 touchdowns in 16 games. So, look at that stat. And 185 receiving yards in one game. The giant rookie record at the end of the year. He was phenomenal. And including his one-handed grab in Philadelphia.
Play action. And Manning's going to heave one. There's a flag. Beckham, a one-handed catch. How in the world?
Oh, my goodness.
And Brandon Carr was back there. I mean, he is insane. How do you make that catch?
Oh, my goodness. This is sick. Put this to music. I don't think he stepped out either. That may be the greatest catch I've ever seen.
Sorry, wrong division rival.
Yeah, Cowboys.
In that game. But Odell Beckham, a remarkable rookie season.
It's a good one. Bogish is at the home headquarters today, but would not miss this if his life depended on it. Who is the greatest NFL rookie of all time, folks?
Well, let me just say congrats to Pete for not trying to sell us on Bruce Bochy being 70 and 74 in his first season as Padres manager back in 95. And then now, Pete, tell me if I'm doing this right. Right church, wrong pew.
That is correct.
Perloff went NFL running back. He just had the wrong NFL running back.
This is the day Jim Brown sets a new league record for yards gained rushing. And here Jim makes his most spectacular run of the year. He breaks out of the grasp of Dick Doherty.
It was so amazing so long ago there wasn't actual play-by-play. There's just recaps of the 1957 season for Jim Brown. Just 12 games. He ran for 942 yards and 9 touchdowns. Doesn't sound a lot, but both those numbers led the NFL. And here's the thing that he did that nobody else did. As a rookie, he was the NFL MVP. Not just Rookie of the Year.
Yep.
He was the best player in the NFL as a rookie. Give me Jim Brown, 1957.
All right, there you have it. That's our great debate for this week. Greatest NFL rookies of all time. Perloff.
Eric Dickerson, who, by the way, came in second for MVP, the second highest rookie.
That's
right
not first.
Yeah, you're right.
Still a loser.
With Cam Newton, EJ went with Randy Moss, Pete went with Odell Beckham Jr., and Bogish going with Jim Brown. So we give you a little everything there, a lot of multiple eras that you can get involved with this if you'd like. 855-212-4227. If you would like to participate in the show in a different way, we've got that for you too. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. You can join the chat, you can watch the show, and you can leave your comments right there. All right, we've got two things on the table for you. One, will J.J. McCarthy be a star in the NFL, yes or no? And two, the greatest NFL rookie seasons of all time. Maggie and Perloff, don't move.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Great Debate Wednesday. Which NFL player had the greatest rookie season of all time? Maggie went with Cam Newton. EJ went with Randy Moss. Bilotti went with Odell Beckham Jr. And Andrew Bogus went with Jim Brown in one of those old 50s highlights, which we loved.
Yeah, we
do. There was no play-by-play in 1957. You know, I think a couple guys we miss, Earl Campbell had a sick rookie year. Came in second in MVP voting. There's nothing wrong. I picked Eric Dickerson because he's the coolest guy on this list, except maybe Randy Moss. Cam's pretty cool, too. Actually, Odell's very cool. We all basically pick players
yeah,
we love.
This is a very cool list.
I think you could expand the list to players who aren't super highlight players. Maybe there's somebody else, Maggie. Maybe there's a defensive player. God.
Well, let's hit the phones. 855-212-4227. The greatest rookie season in the NFL ever. Mike's in Syracuse has got a thought for us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. 1952, Los Angeles Rams selected Dick Night Train Lane.
Yep.
Still holds the rookie.
Oh, he hung up on him.
No.
He hung up.
He hung up.
I was going to say, did he just start a string of curses that I didn't hear?
I mean, that's by the way.
They broke the record for most interceptions, 14.
Yep, 14 interceptions, two defensive touchdowns scored in that season and a safety.
What if Monty Ossenfort, the Arizona Cardinals GM, is in the same exact situation as Mike in Syracuse and his phone cuts out right before the trade? That's why if I'm a GM, I'm getting this trade deal done exactly for that reason.
This is Perloff's like anxiety dream, even though this is not your job.
I wish. I mean, I would love to have that four pick. Go ahead.
George is in L.A. George, hello.
What's going on, you guys? Good morning. I hate to be a homer, but Puka Nacua, man, last year, just, you know, most yards ever receiving by a rookie. Hell of a fifth-round pick out of nowhere, you know. It's amazing.
Puka had a great season, George. You're right about that. Broke the record. Now, here's the thing. 17 games.
Yeah. Modern passing offense.
A little bit.
He's still awesome. I mean, greatest ever feels rich for me, but he should be celebrated as maybe easily the most unexpected superstar rookie year. I mean, I can't even think of
A fifth-round pick?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else who's jumped like that off the top of my head.
Now, what's funny is he didn't win Rookie of the Year, obviously, because that went to C.J. Stroud.
Actually, unexpected, Mr. Irrelevant.
Brock Purdy, yeah. But
he hit it pretty good. And Russell Wilson, too.
That was pretty unbelievable.
Those two guys. I don't know what Russell Wilson's stats were, but I thought about him because that team hit fast. But was that him or was that
the
defense?
Legion of Boom? Well, ask Richard Sherman. He'll tell you it was definitely the defense. Okay, so Andrew Bogish is here. He's got headlines for us. Hello.
Hello again. 20 points only for Devin Booker, just 18 for Kevin Durant, only 14 from Bradley Beal. That trio shooting 18 for 45 combined. The Suns' big three, not that big, in a 105-93 loss in game two in Minnesota. But Booker says, don't worry, they'll try to win soon.
I mean, don't count us out. You know, it's a series for a reason. You know, I don't think any road team's won so far. You know, I know that doesn't have anything to do with us, but you know, it's just, situation that it is.
That road team sentence might have been true when Booker said it, but since he said it, the Pacers closed out a 125-108 win in Milwaukee to split their first two games, and then the Mavs left LA with a split thanks to a 96-93 win, so road teams now 2-12 so far this postseason. The Pelicans hoping to avoid 0-2 tonight in OKC. No Zion for that one or the foreseeable future. But Big Z said yesterday he should be back out there if the Pels keep winning.
That is definitely realistic. It is absolutely realistic. But like I said, I got to pass tests, get back to baseline, and hopefully I'll be out there.
When Zion hurt his left hamstring 8 days ago against the Lakers, they said he'd be reevaluated in 2 weeks. So we're halfway there right now.
Right. Do we think? Well, listen, the first game of that series was very close. So,
yeah.
Sure.
They have to win this next game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, do we even, you know, how do we even go down that road? Perloff said he doesn't think Zion's going to be back until next season's All-Star break.
Yeah, right after the All-Star, I hope.
That's not a medical opinion, though.
No.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a having watched Zion ever. Right? Has he ever come back earlier?
No, but he played 70 games this year.
Trust me, he's my favorite player in the NBA. I wish he played more. This is killing me that they have to throw out this team.
What I heard from this, though, when I heard this quote, it feels, though, like there's been questions before where they think he's been healthy enough to play and he kind of hasn't gone. And there's that big controversy where he's doing windmills prior to playoff games. I get the feeling that if he's close, he's going to go. That's what I heard here. Whereas maybe in the past, he was like, oh, I'm not going to go. If not feeling so great. I think that's probably gone, so maybe that's where he'll push it. But I still think it has to be a close series, and I don't think this is going to be a close series.
I don't know. It just feels like they're the kind of team, and with him, they've always been of the opinion, like, it's not worth it. You know, it's not worth it to push. This reminds me of, like, Steven Strasburg with the Nationals or something.
Yeah.
Like, no, we always got to have him on a pitch clock. We've always – and listen, they ended up winning a World Series late in his career, but it's like they will always do – opt for the not push it.
Absolutely. One thing is he's a little lighter now, so maybe it's not as big an injury risk, but still hamstrings. If you guys ever had a hamstring problem, they never go away.
Yeah.
And the other thing is what percentage of Zion are you getting? Zion's got to be explosive. If you limit him at all, what's the point? Never shoots from the outside. He's got to be able to explode in the middle. It's not happening. It's done, Bogus. Take that out of your update.
What's odd to me is that the question was, will you be back in the postseason?
Yeah.
Not in this round. And he said the postseason is definitely realistic, which is not a firm yes.
Mm.
And Zane's more serious than he's got a hamstring. We'll check on him in 2 weeks. Like, if this was not a big deal, he'd be back in 2 weeks and 2 days if they were still playing. So to not fully commit to being back in the postseason in general, maybe the hamstring is worse than we thought 8 days ago.
It's possible. Totally. What else we got, sir?
Well, I'm too lazy to confirm this. I think this was the first overtime game of this NHL postseason. Panthers and Lightning going past regulation in game two, and no surprise, Carter Verhaeghe ended things.
Chernak up the wall, got the clear. Mikkola wrists it back in for the Panthers. That rims around the end wall near side. Lilleberg trying to poke it away from Chuck. Loose out front. Backhand try. And they score. Carter Verhaeghe upstairs. And this one's over. The Panthers win it in overtime. 3-2 the final. Carter Verhaeghe, the game winner.
That's from Panthers Radio. A 3-2 win, a 2-0 lead on the Lightning. This makes 5 career postseason OT goals for Verhaeghe, already tied for the 3rd most all-time. The Rangers took a 2-0 lead on the Caps in regulation 4-3, but Nashville won in Vancouver 4-1, Colorado won in Winnipeg 5-2. Those series are now 1-1. Braves lefty Max Fried, a complete game shutout, a 5-0 decision over the Marlins, who have now not scored in their last 20 innings. Giants righty Logan Webb on a 19-inning scoreless stretch after blanking the Mets for 8, San Francisco winning 5-1. New York has dropped 3 in a row since a 6-game win streak. The Phillies' 7-game win streak ending in Cincinnati 8-1. And LIV Golf CEO Greg Norman says they are open-minded to expanding their events to the traditional 72 holes, but that would be a significant change for the breakaway tour. They're playing one less day, one less round right now. John Rahm among the LIV golfers who have called for this expansion in hopes of bringing the two tours closer together. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you so much. Did you guys see, speaking of Saudi Arabia and Liv, did you see Deshaun Watson was in Saudi Arabia? Apparently, yeah. He tweeted, thank you to the Saudis for hosting me and all this stuff. Like,
yeah, always working on that Q rating. Get it up and up there, Deshaun. I mean, geez.
What can make this guy more likable? Nothing like a trip to Saudi Arabia.
Let's connect with the Saudi Arabians.
Also, what's he providing for them? Like, we talked about the Bills being for sale, the 25% stake, and who's going to be the owner. And I said, oh, could it be Donald Trump? Da, da, da. I think the Saudis are going to try to they love getting into professional sports, called sports washing, what have you. I think they're going to try. And I wouldn't be shocked if they made a big offer to try to get a stake in the Bills. And now Deshaun Watson being over there does not connect that dot, obviously. But, like, why are they hosting football players?
I mean, unless they want to start a football league. And that sounds crazy right now, but, I mean, they started a soccer league to get Cristiano right. Ronaldo, and it worked. And they almost got Mbappe.
And it's not going to be as easy as you think, though. I mean, because owners have to approve this, these ownership transactions. So.
Yes, and I think the one thing about NFL owners and just owners in general, I never have any faith that they would do anything if the bottom line is on one side and maybe doing the quote-unquote right thing is on the other side. I never think they'll do the right thing. But that's me. All right, we got to take a quick break. Coming up, one of the men who will be on the desk on TV beamed into your living room for the next 3 days. Charles Davis is going to join us. Don't move. It's Maggie.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. We'll absolutely love listening to our next guest. His draft analysis and NFL analysis spot on. Love listening to him do games with Ian Eagle as well. It's Charles Davis, NFL Network analyst and NFL Network, providing live coverage, of course, of the 2024 NFL draft in Detroit. It starts Thursday at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Charles, it's Maggie and Perloff. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing well. How are the two of you today?
Man, we're doing awesome, and we can't wait for the draft to get underway, just like you. But here's our first question here from the NFL side. Which front office, in your opinion, is really under a lot of pressure to nail this draft and come away with a difference-making class?
Oh, that's a great question. Absolutely great question. Short-term, and it's really strange because it's not just the class, it's just a short-term for the season, I'd have to say the Jets.
Yeah.
Because they went all in on Aaron Rodgers last year. Of course, they lost him after four plays, so you kind of get a little bit of a pass on that. Zach Wilson didn't work out, but they have a number of other players that they've drafted have been pretty darn good players for them. Can they bring them up to fruition? Can they add to it with this class? Can they have the kind of season that they're looking for? That's a big one. The others are going to be very simple. Chicago's making progress. Washington is brand new. New England is brand new. Right on down the line, I'm going to give you a weird one, and it's a brand new one, but the Raiders. When are they going to fully get out of the wilderness? Tom Telesco, who came from the Chargers, starting over with Antonio Pierce. It was promising, especially on Christmas Day, wasn't it, when they beat Kansas City? can they elevate, find the quarterback they're looking for perhaps, and start making some noise in the AFC West once again?
All right, Charles, where do you stand on sort of this big debate, how many quarterbacks are going to go and how high they're going to go? Do you see it possibly going 1, 2, 3, 4 with J.J. McCarthy as a top five pick?
I do, Andrew, because, you know, I can't rule out all the smoke that's there. I mean, you got to have a mask on for this one, don't you?
A Laramie Tunsil mask,
Charles. Not a Laramie Tunsil one.
Different kind.
We're trying to keep Maggie. That was very good. We're trying to keep the smoke out on this one, Maggie, not trying to keep it in. Okay? But it's definitely there. My instincts, if they count for anything, Andrew, and I'm just using my own, no one else's or what have you, I feel like it should be a 4-2 draft, meaning four quarterbacks in the first round, two in the second round. 5-1 feels pretty solid, though. Is it Bo Nix or Michael Penix? But I have to tell you, when my mock draft drops today, there's six in there.
Six in the first round, Charles. You're a wild man.
Yeah, there's six in there. But, you know, I've been looking around, and, you know, we all kind of eye each other. Andrew and Maggie, tell me if I'm wrong on this one. Now we always say, well, you know, I do my own and I worry about my own place. The heck we do. If we don't all look around and see what other people are doing, am I in the right neighborhood? Six is starting to become the number.
Yeah.
Wait, it really is. Charles, six is starting to become the number everywhere.
Take us through then. Your mock's going to start, going to drop today, and it's must-watch. Perloff will literally pull his car over to the side of the road to read a mock draft, including yours. So can you tell us, like, where are these six QBs going? I'm assuming you've got Caleb 1. Do you have Jaden 2?
Yeah, well, since it hasn't dropped, can I do a little suspense? Is that okay?
Yeah,
sure.
All right. Quarterbacks at 1, 2, 3. Not at 4, because here's the deal. I don't do trades. I'm not smart enough to do the trades and remember them.
Yeah.
So I just do it like a normal deal. And somehow, some way, sometimes the trades show up in what I do, but you just don't see it, if that makes any sense at all.
Got it.
So not at 4, not at 5, not at 6, which is a pressure point because that's the Giants and people are wondering about them. Would they be a quarterback? I didn't go there. Quarterback 11, 12, 13.
There you go.
Okay, so you got like a run in the beginning. Know. And then 11, 12, 13 is Minnesota, Denver, and Vegas.
Run.
Yeah. So that's
it's so heavy quarterback that the best tight end in the draft, I can't find a place for him in my top 10.
Is that?
And remember, Brock Bowers has been almost inked at 10 to the Jets. I don't have him going there.
It's funny, Charles. I saw your cohort, Peter Schrager, NFL Network, also had. He said 6 in the top half has now become the consensus thinking. So
six in the top half of the first round.
Six quarterback. That's what Schrager said, that everyone's thinking there's going to be six. Is that just because if you want to get a quarterback, you can't sit around?
You got to go, right, Andrew? Like if you're one of those teams that's down below, the Raiders are at 13. The Broncos are at 12. I know the Broncos don't have a second round pick, but you guys have both studied Sean Payton. Has he ever not influenced Mickey Loomis to give away a future pick to go get what he wants right now?
Wow.
He always did, didn't he? They did it for Marcus Davenport to come up to 12. They did it to get running backs in the third round. He'd give away a future pick. They don't have a 2 this year. So that means 2025 is in play as far as he's concerned. And, yes, I think we can all agree, we don't believe Zach Wilson in that deal is going to stop him from trying to get a quarterback. So put it in perspective. I think you're right, Andrew. You got to go and get that person. So I fully expect people to try and make moves. That's part of it, but there's one big caution flag that's gone up for me. You guys know what it is, right? Didn't we talk about Will Levis like this last year?
Oh, yeah.
And he got the call when he was back home the next day, day 2. Okay? So I always keep that in mind because the teams will always know more than we know. We end up with pack mentality, and we all follow each other in a lot of ways, and the teams snicker and go, no, we really weren't going to go that way. Kenny Pickett? That was supposed to be Malik Willis going, Desmond Ridder going. They took Pickett at 21 or 22 or somewhere in that neighborhood. And then no one else was picked again until the third round that was a quarterback. So I always have that little note of caution in my head. But right now I have 6 going.
Charles, I saw your last mock draft at the end of March, obviously a while ago now. Yep. You had Seattle and the LA Rams taking quarterbacks too. What? Yep. I would love that scenario. Do you think if somebody fell to them, they'd be interested?
Definitely. I definitely do. Brand new head coach and John Schneider as the GM. Maggie and Andrew, did we learn something? You guys probably knew this, and I was probably aware, but it didn't feel that way because of Pete Carroll's presence in Seattle. John Schneider didn't really have final call, did he?
Mm.
Pete had it. So guess who has final call now? John Schneider. It's a brand new world. Doesn't mean automatically you do something out of character, but now you have free reign to do what you want, and it's a brand new head coach. The Rams, they have the first-round pick for the first time since Jared Goff. So we're not wearing F those picks T-shirts, and they have 11 picks overall. There's a strong feeling Matthew Stafford's, you know, he's way closer to the end than the beginning. We know that. This could be his last year. Would you put it past Les Snead to do some maneuvering if indeed there's a quarterback they can go get that they want? That's why I had quarterbacks with the Rams on my last one.
Charles Davis is joining us. NFL Network analyst is going to be front and center for the NFL draft. NFL Network's coverage gets going Thursday, live, of course, 8 o'clock Eastern time. But they basically, like, you know, I don't think Charles can even, like, take a bathroom break. I mean, they literally have you on TV for 3 days straight. And he's joining us right here on Maggie and Perloff. We have a poll question up today, Charles, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
Do you think J.J. McCarthy will be a star in the NFL? Yes or no?
I think he'll be a good quarterback in the NFL. I struggle on the star part because I think we make star too easily. It's like all the things. He's elite. You know, we used to have that debate all the time. I think somewhere Eli Manning and Joe Flacco both winced and went, oh, God, here we go again, right? But I think we ascribe these terms because we speak so glowingly of these guys and we put them in halls of fame quicker and all of that. I think he'll be a good quarterback. Star, I'm not willing to go there yet.
What if he was Kirk Cousins? Is it worth taking a Kirk Cousins at number 4 overall in today's NFL? Maybe not a superstar, but a very effective quarterback.
It is, and make up for it elsewhere. Look, even last year, Kansas City with a superstar quarterback realized that the infrastructure around him it wasn't conducive to playing totally to what he does best, right? I mean, in what world did you guys wake up on a Sunday morning and think to yourself, Andy Reid's going to run the football today? You didn't. And he did. Right? Pacheco ran it. They played small ball with Patrick. He got better. I've said it last year, and I'm very consistent on this. The best quarterback play he's given in the NFL was down the stretch last year and through the playoffs. Yeah. I don't care about the numbers. I'm talking about being an elite quarterback. Yes, I'm using the word elite. I'm talking about apex predator quarterback. Understanding what's on your team, down and distance situation, taking care of the football, taking the sack instead of making the hero throw, doing all those things. Why? Because your defense is now not playing with a 14-0 lead. Your defense is playing like an elite defense. And he understood all of that and played to it. So the Patrick Mahomes that won this Super Bowl was not the Patrick Mahomes that we saw was super spectacular, but I don't think he's ever played the position of quarterback better than what we saw last year because he understood his team. Kirk Cousins, if you give me Kirk Cousins and I tune up my team around him, I think I'm a threat. I really do. I think I'm a threat to win the whole thing. I know he hasn't, but I don't think that's all his fault either. Yeah, I'm with you. Andrew, I don't know if I'm with you as you pose the question. I think it's a good question, but I think it's worth going and getting him a number 4 in this year's draft.
There we go. Last one for you, Charles. And again, appreciate you making time for us, Charles Davis. Brandon Ayuk. Do you think he gets traded during this draft from the 49ers?
I don't. I feel like the 49ers are going to figure things out with him. They're an organization that tends to do that for the most part. Remember how disgruntled Debo was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nick Bosa didn't show up for a real long time last offseason.
Right?
Yep.
Hey, you know, Nick Bosa did a hold in and then signed and played, right?
Yeah.
Debo was disgruntled and kind of, but guess what? That worked out. They just feel like an organization that knows how to work through the grumble. And what is the 2024, 2023 way of showing displeasure? When we were kids, we took our ball and we went home, right? I don't want to play with you guys anymore. Now, what do? We scrub our social media of our team affiliation.
and then tell our agent that we didn't really ask for a trade. It's exactly. It was my agent.
I think he stays. I think he's an asset they want to keep around. I'd be surprised.
Charles, thank you so much for making time for us and getting up early for us as well. Really excited about the draft getting going in Detroit. Again, NFL Network, Thursday, 8 o'clock. That's where you can watch Charles and then throughout the weekend.
Hey, I appreciate you guys very much. I hope you let me come and hang out with you one day.
Love to.
Studio with you.
Got to do it. We'll get pizza. It'll be really fun, Charles.
Got a chair with your name on it. Thanks, Charles. Appreciate you. Charles Davis does a great job also with Ian Eagle through the season. I should mention that as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I love it. The way you know a guy's unhappy when you're scrubbing the social media. But that's become so obvious now. Like, I feel like you don't even scare a team by doing that.
I think we need another move.
Who's the guy who just put up the Patriots on his social media?
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown, right.
Favorite wide receiver?
Yeah, like, I don't think the Eagles were quaking in their boots because they put Tom Brady up there. We know A.J. Brown doesn't want to go to New England. You got to be smart about how you scrub your social media.
Okay, it is Wednesday, which means it's a great debate Wednesday around here. We are asking you, who had the greatest rookie season in the history of the NFL? Drafts upon us. We've got rookies on the brain. So we're asking you, who had the greatest rookie season of all time? You know, you just mentioned Tom Brady. Got a little bit of a Tom Brady update yesterday.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You feeling good about your Tom Brady will come back prediction?
My long-term bet of Tom Brady will suit up again in the NFL? Well, have to stick around and hear that next. Maggie and Perloff, we are on the absolutely free to download Odyssey app. We are on SiriusXM channel 158. You can watch us on youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and you can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast wherever you get your pods. Coming up, Perloff goes where else? Against the grain next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.